You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Thursday, November 17th, 2016, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Greg Sussman, joined as always by the King, Scott Angle, the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson, Tony Zincana as well. We go to the next 3 hours here on the Roto Experts. 844-843-6879. What's going on, King?
Ready to go. Here we go. Thursday night football. NFC South matchup. This is very important for the Saints, and it should be a good fantasy matchup as well, because both teams can throw on each other.
Both teams can move the ball, Corey.
Yep, here we go. It's week 11. Listen, it don't get no bigger than this week until next week, so definitely getting ready to rock and roll as we wind down the fantasy football regular season. Like I always like to say, fellas, people, they put their strategies together in August, and they say, well, this should get me to week 4. You know, then I can play this guy in week 15 and 16. That's not guaranteed. Weeks 1 through 13 are guaranteed. 14, 15, and 16, you don't have to be there.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit more about that strategy later on in the show. Good morning, Tony.
How are we doing? It's a great day. Of course, last night, 11 NBA games, and we all expected Harden and Westbrook to go crazy, but they didn't. Actually, they didn't deliver for fantasy owners last night.
And that was the craziest part about it. Scotty saw my team when I walked in this morning. He's like, oh, my God, you got Westbrook and Harden in? I'm like, yeah, but they stunk. Not that they stunk, but, you know, they just didn't live up to what we wanted last night. I was talking about that a little bit later
but
on.
But you still cashed, though, right?
I did still wind up cashing. I had an overall solid team. But it wasn't thanks to Harden and Westbrook who were, you know, they were owned. The reason I cashed is because they were owned in over 50% of leagues. Everybody had
Westbrook.
Yeah,
so the other players made the difference. Yeah.
The other players got the job done. Corey, yesterday we kind of left off with you spending $15 on a defense.
Oh, wow. I'm so glad that's where we started.
Yes, sir.
See, let me tell you something, fellas. You guys are going to think I am joking. I did not get the defense in either league.
What?
Wow.
Seriously?
Did not get him in either league. In one situation, the Miami Dolphins defense went for $69.
What?
Yep. Wow. $69. And I'm pulling them up right now. So, yeah, here's the thing. When you're in some of these competitive leagues and you're going down the stretch like this, what ends up happening is the guys at the top are the guys that's really left playing, really left making bids and stuff like that. So, yeah, I lost out on the defense in a couple of leagues last night. So, being that you only have like 4 or 5 teams that's still in the hunt trying to make it, what those dudes are doing is they're playing week to week. And if they got a good matchup on the board, they're dumping the fab dollars on that matchup. Yeah, $67, Miami Dolphins defense. I had the next highest bid at $17. $32 for the Kansas City Chiefs defense. And the next highest bid was $28.
This is crazy, because I've never heard anything like this.
Miami Dolphins, $67.
Miami Dolphins. Julius Thomas was for $80.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money for Julius Thomas.
Yeah, I think what Corey was saying, though, you know, about how highly competitive these leagues are, you know, and how much they're playing for, you know, these guys want to ensure they get who they get. And, you know, maybe they've been savvy in terms of saving their money and they feel they have to overspend to get what they have to get.
Yeah, Tony, I get it, right? We're in week 11. You can't spend the money. We know that already. But spending money on a defense, I mean, how do we know that Jerry Goff's not going to be the best quarterback ever here?
I don't think we know it, but we can just look at it and we can take a chance. And I think a lot of times, too, is we're in leagues, like you said, we got guys that have money left, and you can't take it with you. So guys are spending money because they didn't do it earlier. They're just going to go ahead and, hey, if it's a defense and it's 1 week, maybe I'm playing the guy I'm behind by one game, and I'm going to throw it all out there.
Did you get anybody else interesting, Corey, besides your defense?
Well, you know, this is the time of year where you're trying to do some maintenance to your roster, you know what I'm saying? So I picked up Andre Ellington. Dollar make you holler on Andre Ellington, just in case.
Anything happens to David Johnson.
Exactly,
right.
And then a dollar make you holler on Terron Ward in case, you know.
Devontae Freeman and Devontae Freeman.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. So this is the Devontae Freeman team. I understand both of them would have to get hurt, but I want to have I want to make sure that
you're covered.
I'm covered in that situation. So that's that. That's this team is called Luke Cage.
Do you like that show?
It started off good and it's kind of got boring in the middle.
So you're trying to change your team name. It sounds like your fantasy football team. It started off good and then got boring in the middle.
Yeah. And then in another league last night, I did actually get the Miami Dolphins defense for $19, and the next highest bid was $1. So it can go either way. I picked up a team where my only quarterback was Blake Bortles. I picked up Colin Kaepernick for $10. And then, yeah, and then I'm just getting ready to bring it home.
Tony, you know, Colin Kaepernick, somebody we've talked a lot about on this show. Somebody you can start, somebody you can stream, somebody who's put up actually decent numbers here as a starting fantasy quarterback. But do you feel like it's un-American to own Colin Kaepernick?
You know, that's a great question because we had, remember we went back, and I think it was Derek Van Riper when we were on Sirius XM that would not own Adrian Peterson because of the kid situation where he took there. So, you know what? I think it is un-American. I mean, this is a guy. I've lost, actually, a little respect for Colin Kaepernick, to be honest. Any guy that sits then and then just doesn't give a shit, no, he doesn't vote, he's not even registered. Like, yeah. I bet he doesn't even have a license. I bet you, like, someone asked him for his license. I bet he's never gone there. Like, I think he's a kind that just bakes out all day.
You know, it's interesting because, Scott, you've been recommending Colin Kaepernick here quite a bit. And, you know, he had his protest.
He's anti-American.
He had all of his protests and whatnot, and he created this entire controversy surrounding the national anthem. And he talked about how he's going to do all this stuff to change. And you know what? He didn't even vote. So, to me, I believe in fantasy karma. You know that about me. I am 100% involved in fantasy karma. I want good guys in my locker room. That's why in a league that I have an IR spot, I haven't dropped Keenan Allen. He sits in my IR spot to rally my team around. So, I believe in it, right? But Colin Kaepernick, I get the protest, but you don't vote. You don't belong on my team.
Well, I remember, you know, back on the old platform, too, about, you know, people getting very upset about Ray Rice and talking about whether they want to own him on the fantasy team or not. In the end, you don't have to like Colin Kaepernick as a person. You don't have to like anybody on your team for whatever reason. You know, the name is just a name on the screen to you, and you have to get the best stats at the end. You know, and then when the season is over, you know, just release Colin Kaepernick just for the heck of it. You don't have to like Colin Kaepernick. It's the same thing. Like, you know, if you know, I know Corey, like there's certain teams and players he doesn't like, but you know, if they're going to help his fantasy team, he will put them on it.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with Colin Kaepernick. I think it was probably not the if you're going to take that stand, you probably should go to the poll, but whatever. But he set his stance on the two candidates when this whole thing first started August.
Right.
Back in late August. So I don't have no problem with him on that. And if people are going to leave him out there because they feel a certain kind of way about it, I'm going to go for it because I have no problem with it. You know what I'm saying? I think where he started at and the way he explained it and how he carried himself up until Election Day, I have no issue with it.
All right. Well,
Would you guys roster Josh Brown back in the day?
I have a team that is where I auction team. Where it's no roster moves,
right.
Like you just pick the players and then you play through the season. Mm-hmm. My only kicker on that team
is
Josh Brown, and I'm telling you, I'm right outside the money. And I'm like, if I had a kicker, I'd probably be doing it.
Well,
I understand why people wouldn't want a guy like that on their fantasy team. I understand where they're coming from.
Brown or Kaepernick,
you know, any of those guys, I can understand and respect other people's opinions and angles where they come from.
Mm-hmm.
Me personally, I take it as if I don't like the guy, it's just a name on the screen. I want the numbers.
Okay. I
like how you can separate that.
It's a nice way to be able to separate it, in all honesty. Somebody, even a couple of years ago, when Adrian Peterson went through his stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
AP missed the game because he was forced to miss the game and had all this backlash. And in one of my leagues, someone's like, listen, I can't in good conscience have this guy. I'm going to drop him. This is before he was, you know, put on the inactive list and suspended for the year. Now, I went out and tried to trade for him in a different league. Like, you know what, AP, he's going to come back. And I got a lot of crap for that. Crap for going after AP for that.
Look,
and you know what? It turned me off. And I said, I'm not going to do this. You guys are right.
Look, you know, not every fantasy player has a platform like Brent Grimes' wife. And this is their way, I think, you can't walk up to Colin Kaepernick and say, hey, you jerk, stand up. You know, it's this is people's way of, I guess, you know, in a way, fantasy voting. This is a way of, I want to make my voice heard at least to myself and to my league
That's
mates.
What I'm saying. You're taking a stand, and who knows about it? The 12 of you?
Well, you know about it. You feel good about yourself.
Yeah, I guess that's what it is. I think that's taking it too far, to be honest with you. But if
why
I don't
taking it.
Go ahead,
Tone. You're not into self pleasure.
Yes. I was roster baiting last night. As a matter of fact, looking at my team, you know what I'm saying. But I don't know. I think it's like who. What are you trying to prove? You feel what I'm saying?
No, I get it. I get it. You're not trying to prove anything.
Yeah.
And to who?
You just. It's not about proving something. It's just you personally feel very strongly about something.
Sure.
I get it. You know, I don't think it's nobody or any situation where I'm like, okay, I'm not rostering this guy because of a social issue. You know what I mean?
I'm with you. Everybody's different. Though. Yeah. I'm with you, Corey, you know, on that. But you know, I see where other people are
you would have
from.
To do something.
Yeah,
like,
you know what?
Go ahead.
You know who's a fraud? Nando DeFino.
Uh-oh.
Right? Our fellow co-host.
Uh-oh.
Big time fraud. Why would he not mention the Redskins? If you guys listen to any of the shows, of course, Fantasy Best Friends Forever, he won't mention the Redskins. He'll say Washington, but he'll say Colin Kaepernick. He'll say Adrian Peterson. He'll say Josh Brown. Why does he mention these?
Well, to be fair, hold on, Tony.
If he's going to take a stance, go all the way with it.
To be fair, Corey Parson will also not name the Redskins.
Yeah, I don't. I think that's. That's too far. Now, I'll put them on my fantasy team.
Right.
It's not like I'm putting Dan Snyder on the team. You don't put that as the name of a franchise in 2016. I think that's taking it too far.
You know,
so I've been like that with the Washington thing. So that's kind of the way I've always took my position on the D.C. football team. And eventually they're going to have to change that name, too.
There's a wonderful story. The New York Daily News does not say it either.
Why
right?
is that a wonderful story? Why are you supporting this? Kids get abused by sticks.
Okay. There was a wonderful story in the New York Daily News on Sunday about how this lacrosse player who's Native American has tried to raise consciousness. Him and his brothers, they're like the best players in professional lacrosse about, you know, how these names are not right. And you know, the Indians logo, I can see why it's offensive to a lot of people. And then if you look at the history of the word Redskins and what it means, I can understand why a lot of people get upset about it.
Well, I'm not really sure they're going to get upset about it when our president is going to put a certain group of people in camps. So you think he's going to change the name of the Washington football franchise?
Who? At some point.
Our president-elect?
Not the president. At some point, Dan Snyder is going to have to change that name. See, the reason why, there's two reasons why they're not changing the name, because they're worried about memorabilia, which we don't understand is once you change the name, is the sales of the memorabilia go off the chart.
Yeah, I don't,
exactly.
Yeah, I don't get it.
And then you get the old name and you get that fan base, then you get the new fan base going after the new merchandise. But I tell you one of the things, and I've talked to many DC football fans about this, they don't want to lose that song. That song reminds them of the glory years of the Washington football franchise. And when that song is playing and that stadium is rocking, they are in all their splendor, and they do not want to lose that song.
You change one word in the song. Like, let's just say, for argument's sake, they change it to the Wizards. You just go, Hail to the Wizards.
That sounds like a KKK song.
I didn't say Grand Wizards. I didn't say Grand. But you know what's interesting about D.C., though? They changed the name of the Bullets because they felt it was related to violence.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But I think they feel that the Bullets didn't have the history and the legacy that the Redskins do. And I think that's kind of what it comes
to. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but if you look into a history of that name, that nickname, if anybody does, it's pretty dark.
Go ahead, Tony. I felt like you was about to say something.
Yeah, I'm very sad about this. How we pick and choose. Like, you're Native Americans, and we all feel for them and people that don't like it, but
you think it's too much, Tom?
I think that this is getting a lot of publicity as opposed to people that abuse children and women.
Okay, I feel what you're saying on that.
No question.
Oh, that would definitely rank higher.
Yes,
but you know what?
Still Adrian Peterson. You still talk about him.
I think you know. I think a lot of consciousness has been raised with this, especially with the World Series. You know, I think people started focusing on the name more and the logo. You know, and that lacrosse player I was talking about, he said about the logo, he said, do you really think that's what I look like?
Lacrosse players have their own issues.
But when Bomani Jones wore the shirt that had the Caucasians on it. Oh, how could you do that?
That lacrosse player was wearing the same shirt.
Like, well, how could you do that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Well, it's the same. It's the same exact design, the same exact thing, the same, almost the same exact logo, except one word is different.
Right.
Yeah, and then they say, why don't you get upset about other types of names after Native Americans? Like, mm-hmm. they feel like names like the Braves and people like that.
The Seminoles.
Actually, you know,
Indians.
They show honor, you know, towards the Native Americans, where they feel like the Redskins and the Indians are disrespectful.
Yeah, Florida State, that's a state-supported school. You got Seminoles, you got Tomahawk Chop, you know what I'm saying? And, yeah. and I don't know. So I think eventually we're going to have to get away from, you know, the Native American team
names.
I'll
fire it up. We're only a week away from the Redskins playing on Thanksgiving.
How about that?
Absolutely.
who they playing, the Lions?
No, I
think they're playing the Cowboys. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You got, yeah. Hey, so here you go. You got the Cowboys and the Indians on Thanksgiving.
it's probably a bad omen for you. It's Cowboys better, right? Probably a bad omen.
Nah, we'd be.
Probably going to tie, right?
Beat up on one.
They're going to tie because it's peaceful.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah. We beat up on Washington.
Ultimately,
round
I think that team
up,
has, has so much tradition that, you know, I'm not a fan of the team. Maybe I'm not speaking for myself, but my personal reaction is I say, you know, the legendary players, the franchise, et cetera, you know, it's always going to be there no matter what.
I agree with you.
So,
I agree
if they
you.
Change it.
Let's take a break. We'll talk about some of the big news from yesterday, including Kristen Michael's new home. We do it next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. We're back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Talking over some waiver wire stuff, some headlines as well. Hey, Corey, is any other interesting stuff from your waiver wire before we get into the headlines?
Huh?
Anything else interesting from your waiver wire?
Tajay Sharp is on waiver wire. He's being picked up. Benny Cunningham. I saw a lot of people picking up Benny Cunningham last night. Kenneth Farrow is starting to get some love on the wire. A lot of these leagues are, I mean, really coming down to the nitty gritty. So you have Some you know, the people just picking up, adding pieces right here. This is my Dub Nation team. Me and my brother-in-law run this one. He's an Warrior fan. So, you know, Jalen Richard, I picked up Colin Kaepernick. Devin Funches, I saw in a couple places last night. Charles Clay, Percy Harvin, you know, Ted Ginn Jr.
Percy Harvin.
Everybody's still waiting on that Ted Ginn game. Akeem Hunt in one of my leagues was the top play a bit on. He went for $75 in one of my leagues.
You know what? It's interesting in the league that we're still, Tony, Joe Pisapia and I are still in the league from our old platform, and the top six teams, that's three of us, so we got a 50% chance of winning that league. Waivers, I got Kenneth Dixon for 54, but Thomas Rawls went for over 250.
There you go. So you've seen some high numbers here.
That league is what's everything's wrong with fantasy football. And I think in week 13, I'm going to declare myself champion. I'm in sixth place, and I have the most points in the league. Sixth place.
It stinks. It's unlucky, Tony.
No, it's unlucky. And we shouldn't have luck in fantasy football. This is the way America should be.
Isn't that part of the game,
The best should be rewarded. It shouldn't be a game. It should be a game of skill, right? Didn't we fight in courts, and didn't we protest because of a game of skill? Why are we having luck in this?
Yeah, I think that goes two ways. It frustrates the heck out of people, but it also makes people keep playing. And if you need help tonight with your lineups, George Kurtz chatting live on rotoexperts.com at 7 p.m. Eastern. Also check out Jake Steele's new matchup rankings for Week 11. As part of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football package on rotoexperts.com for the playoffs, enter free radio checkout for a special discount. And I should not go on the board for saying something promotional.
Well, but
that board should be like within regular conversation.
Okay.
If I say
promotion,
I'll have to do that every day. So.
I agree with you. Scott, I agree with you. Your point has been recognized. We have taken a point off the board for you.
Okay.
That's very fair.
Good game, show.
Congratulations.
Host.
You know what? That was a fair point you made.
Yes.
Yes. I agree with you.
From weeks 6 through weeks 10, Colin Kaepernick is QB 11.
Top 12.
He's top 12.
And nobody wants him.
And he's on the waiver wire everywhere.
Nobody wants him. You know why? He's an American. That's what it is.
Yeah. I think that has something to do with it.
I agree with you.
I think really people
just, I'm only half joking.
I think fantasy players were disgusted for him long before he started kneeling.
Okay, I feel you on that point too, Scott. But you really don't leave this on the waiver wire.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, we were talking about it during the break. I had a conversation with a guy I talked to every night, like, and he's like, he needed a quarterback 2 weeks ago. They're playing New Orleans. I'm like, you have to start him this week. He's like, I can't do it. Kaepernick? No way. Rather start Dalton.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, maybe your friend doesn't like him. And your friend knows him. He's like, you know, every, he's got a punk.
No, it's just like he stinks. You know, I would tell people, it's like, you know, in the Daily News and the Sunday spread, I would like, I put Colin Kaepernick as a start, and they put up a big picture. People are saying to me, you really think I should start Kaepernick? Really?
Yeah.
Is it because he's anti-American, or do you think the stigma of the black quarterback is still around?
I don't think it's a stigma of his race. I think it's a stigma of his suckiness from years past. I don't think it has anything to do with race. I think it's just a stigma that he kind of stinks.
And it doesn't have anything to do with the national anthem?
I think it has something to do with
that. I think it has something to do with that. But I think to Scotty's point, where if you can look past that, you look at the team he plays for now, you look at the struggles he has had as a fantasy quarterback in the past, and you're just like, you know what? I don't want this guy.
They run more plays than any other team, though,
yes,
in the
they
league.
Do.
I mean, that has to account for something.
Yes, they do.
That's absolutely an excellent point, but I think people can't get away from stigmas. We talk and labels. We talked about this, you know, a few times already this week about how at this point in the season you need to strip away the stigmas and the labels and look at the numbers. And here's another example.
And that includes picking up a guy like Colin Kaepernick, but also benching guys like Brandon Marshall. Bryce Petty's throwing to him.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I'm working trades, and people ask me about trades. I'm saying, try to move this guy because there's still a high perception of
sure.
this guy
right.
despite his numbers.
Right.
This is DraftKings, right? Where salary is fluctuated between $5,000 and $5,800. 18, 16, 27, 23. He's getting it done.
Sure.
He's getting it done.
ESPN now, 25 points each of the last 2 weeks.
Now, Tony, you said he's un-American. Would that stop you from rostering Colin Kaepernick?
No way. But it comes down to money, and it's just a statistical situation there, and then you have to go ahead and put it in. The one thing that I don't like about Kaepernick, and he falls in the Cam Newton situation, is I just don't like guys that are depending on running yards.
Yeah.
I think when you look at the National Football League, I feel like the guys that throw the ball 45 times, get close to those 50, and they stay in the pocket and they throw the ball all over the field, those are the guys I lean to. So I have Colin Kaepernick, I have Cam Newton, and that's why I don't like Marcus Mariota too, is he just doesn't have the number of throws, and they all count on running yards.
But the thing with Mariota is he's not really counting on the running yards. He's just
been efficient, but he's also had a very friendly schedule.
Sure, absolutely. But taking advantage, as fantasy owner, I don't care.
I'm just saying, you know, we're kind of breaking stuff down here. It's like Tony's right. The guys who throw downfield, the guys who will throw deep a lot, et cetera. I mean, you look at Kaepernick. He's got a nice floor, but can I fully trust him the rest of the way? He's my sole starter. No, but I like him as a streamer.
Sure.
I mean, the team I picked him up on last night, I have one quarterback, Blake Bortles, who. You never know. He could lose his job.
Yeah, absolutely.
It could happen.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He could lose his job. And then I'll be
they might fire the whole team down there.
Then I'll be without a quarterback. And if I got to play Colin Kaepernick in week 16, do I feel good about that? No. But if Colin Kaepernick was to lead me to a championship, I'm telling you what, Jack, that would be the most American thing ever.
I'll tell you, though, this week if you're playing in a key game, though, you don't feel good about Kaepernick because the Patriots, as we all know, we said a bazillion times, take away their best weapon. Colin Kaepernick is maybe the only weapon on that San Francisco offense right now.
Yeah, but he's going to have the football in his hand too much playing from behind. So if I am streaming quarterbacks, I do think Cap is an option this week. Is that game in New England or San Francisco?
San Francisco.
I think he's an option.
I don't think.
You won't stream him, Scott?
That game could be on Mars. I don't care what field it's on.
So, but you don't think he's a streamer, even though
I think maybe there is a pop-up for Cap. I don't feel 100% comfortable with it. I'd start Bortles over him.
You would say you don't have that option.
Bortles
is an excellent play this week.
Yeah.
But, and the same reason that Kaepernick probably is. You know what I'm saying? The game flow and how things. I think the Patriots are 13 point. Is it 13 or 17, Tone?
It's like what Tony said, though. I can't feel comfortable with the rushing guy when I know Bortles is going to throw.
Yeah, but all of that rushing comes when the defense is in prevent. You know what I mean? Like you said, he's the only weapon on the team. He's the most athletic, the best player. He's going to have the football in his hands on every play.
How much is he really going to run when they're playing catch-up, though? You need to have completions and stop the clock.
They're not going to quit. They're going to continue to fight.
They're not going to quit, but I think he's going to throw more than he's going to run if that's the case.
And then he'll rack up yards. They're a 13-point underdog at home.
Those runs, though, are not designed runs. I mean, he doesn't look for the second receiver, and he takes off. So those running yards will still be there probably against New England.
Early in the game, I think.
Yeah, they should be. I think so, too. Hey, let's take a call. Let's go to Kelly in Tampa. You are on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Good morning, Kelly.
Hey, girl.
Good morning, Kels.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
What's up?
Not much. Greg, what did you get for your girlfriend for her birthday?
Oh, yeah. How'd that go?
It went very well, actually. Kelly, thank you so much for asking. I wound up buying these cool ice cream cone pops.
Okay.
And we sent those over. And she said, quote, "You're the best person ever."
Okay.
So that was pretty good.
Nice. That was nice.
And then we bought earrings, which she'll receive tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah. I can show you a picture.
You sent the ice cream cone pops to her office.
I did.
See, that's great. And then everybody could get
one. But you wanted me to send a puppy to the office. Let's not forget that.
I know you don't have a sense of humor, but that was a joke.
I don't think it was.
I don't think it was a joke either.
What?
I couldn't listen to this segment, so I listened to it last night on my way home. But one of the best gifts I'd ever received from a guy for my birthday was homemade. It didn't cost him a thing, pretty much, and it was like a little coupon book, and it was good for doing your laundry one day, and good for a foot rub, or good for a back rub, good for a day of shopping, good for a spa day.
Yeah. Cash it in. That's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Uh-huh.
Kelly, how did that relationship work out for you? Was the guy
very
just
nice.
Too
yeah,
cheap?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And you didn't have
well,
to pay a lot for it either.
That wasn't bad.
We ended up getting a divorce, but that's
he was cheap.
No, we did that before we got married, and I just thought, wow, he's going to do all these things for me, and so maybe he's worth getting married.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to hear about that.
It could
be a positive.
Sure. Yeah. That's true.
His loss is everybody else's gain, possibly.
Everybody else's? What are you trying to
Scott,
say, Scott?
Everybody else has an opportunity to step up.
Everybody, oh, Scott? Yeah. Come on, Scott. You won't say his loss is some other gentleman's gain, not everybody's.
Well, maybe I'm casting too wide a net here. But
please,
you
Scott.
I'll rephrase that.
Kels is one of our friends.
Somebody else's gain.
Thank you, Scotty.
Yeah. Thank you, Corey. Saving me.
So Scott's now my wingman, I guess.
What do you say, Kels?
I said, I guess Scott's volunteering to be my wingman.
Yeah,
that's going well right now. Yeah. Here are the pops.
It's going well.
Oh, I'm a good one. Ask Tony.
I like those.
Thanks.
Hey, Kelly.
Harry.
Kelly, last night I was out, and I told a woman that she made me hard like a turtle. And she got a chuckle, and she brought it back up to me twice. And then we went to another establishment after, and her boyfriend showed up.
Good.
I didn't mention that to him. I should have mentioned that to him, but I didn't.
All right,
Tony. I think a good rule is to never talk about schools in front of a woman.
Oh, okay. I didn't get that.
Kelly, what is your question here?
Your soldier.
Okay.
Got derailed there, huh?
For sure.
So you guys have been talking about Kelly, R. Kelly, and I'm just wondering if I should pick him up, and if so, who do I have? I mean, for who should I drop? I just don't know if I have room on my roster for him. So can I, run through a couple of options to pick up him and drop somebody else?
Sure.
Okay, so I start 3 wide receivers, 2 running backs, and a flex. Right now on my bench, I have J.J. Nelson, Ty Montgomery, Jeremy Hill, Edmund, Powell, Hogan, and Rawls.
Yeah, so I would, personally for me, I have no problem dropping someone like J.J. Nelson.
I'd drop Montgomery.
Montgomery.
I don't see him being a factor.
I drop all these guys.
Kelly's got to get somebody named Kelly anyway.
I think I heard another. What was the names again? I heard another name.
Nelson and Montgomery are the ones that stood out.
No, it was another one that stood out. It might be And I think it might cause some controversy. I wish we still had her. Did you remember all the names?
No, because I just, you know, I deduced in my mind that Nelson and Montgomery would be the guys that I cut. Montgomery would be the first.
It was one of those, I think it was one of those wide receivers. Chris Hogan, that's who I would cut. That's who it was.
Did she say Hogan?
Yeah, she said Hogan.
Okay,
I would cut Chris
Hogan. Yeah, I got no problem cutting Chris Hogan
out there. I'd rather cut Montgomery than Hogan.
You love Hogan.
You love Hogan.
You love Hogan.
All the white guys.
I didn't realize Russell
You've been talking about
Wilson
Hogan since
white.
July. You what? Know what I'm saying? You've been talking about Chris Hogan since July.
Yeah,
so that's
I talked
your guy.
About Zach Zander, too, though. I dropped off on him.
Yeah. He tried to trade for Julian Edelman yesterday.
Rocky Marciano. I picked up Ryan Fitzpatrick, Rocky Marciano.
Rocky Marciano.
If a man wants to be called Muhammad Ali, then you should let them be called Muhammad Ali. What is this, velvet, husband? That's beautiful.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get to some of these headlines from yesterday. We'll do it next on the Roto Experts. We return here on the Roto Experts in the morning. Corey Parsons, Scott Angle, Tony Zuccato.
Very poppy.
It's too poppy.
It's very 70s kind of like hustle, you know, like doing the hustle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What we got, Greg?
Well, I want to talk about Christian Michael.
Oh.
We kind of predicted it here on the show where he would end up. And that wound up being in Green Bay. Now, Christian Michael's in Green Bay, and it's interesting because you talked about Ty Montgomery just a second ago, Scotty, and you wanted to cut Ty Montgomery. You suggested cutting Ty Montgomery for Kelly over someone like Chris Hogan, for instance.
Right.
And you wanted to cut him. Don Jackson went on IR, not that he was any good, but Don Jackson's on injured reserve, which leaves just two running backs, if you take out Ty Montgomery, in Green Bay. One's James Starks, who is fine. I mean, maybe a step slow, if anything. And one now is Christian Michael. So, Scotty, Christian Michael. Is there value with him in Green Bay?
Not too much. If you play in one of those larger leagues, maybe you scoop him up in case Starks gets hurt. And we talk about getting the handcuffs to guys late in the season. I would think Michael would be the handcuff now because I feel like Montgomery was kind of a desperation situation. But it's going to take time for him to possibly learn the offense and get acclimated to this team. You come into a new ball club in week 11. I think out of desperation, they might use him if Starks gets hurt. If you have Starks, maybe you take a flyer. Otherwise, I can't see doing it.
Yeah, Dollar Make Holler, the kid's been cut a billion times. You know what I'm saying? Another thing about this guy, he's not that good, number one. Another thing about him is I think he's a guy that people just don't like. Like, when he gets involved with a team, he comes in the locker room, he's like an asshole, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So now you got him and Aaron Rodgers on this team. Oh, right. My God.
See, I think he's talented, but there's a lot of flaws.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he doesn't get the fundamentals, et cetera, and he really wears
on the
coaching.
Is he hard to coach? Is he hard to coach?
I've gotten the picture that he wears on the coaching staff because just of his lapses in judgment. You know, like with Seattle a few weeks ago, they were driving for a touchdown, and they're like on a key goal line play. You know, he flinches and he draws a flag and it turns into a field goal. That's those kind of things.
Yeah, I think Christian Michael obviously has issues. He's been cut so many times that like, you know what? I understand he had some struggles in Seattle this year, but there are times he looked good. To go from being a starting running back, a bell cow, someone we could trust, to being cut in like 2 weeks is crazy.
Well, they just don't have it. They don't tolerate like the lack of fundamental preparation. You know, Tom Cable, the offensive line coach, was very. And there's been times where I've just seen that he does what other running backs don't do. It's like he'll lose his footing when he's gaining momentum, and he'll just slip and fall down. And he does it pretty often.
Mm, yeah, Tony, any value here for Christian Michael?
I don't think so. I think it's going to end up a lot like Nile Davis, right? Three, mm-hmm. four
yep.
days.
Yep.
And then it goes back and he's retreaded somewhere else. I just look at this situation in Green Bay from the running back perspective, right? Eddie Lacy is a guy that was a pretty good running back, and he never fulfilled fantasy expectations. Mm. And then they drop down to a whole bunch of people that have never failed. It's just not a good spot for running backs.
Let me ask you a question. Speaking of which, foreshadowing, what do we do with Eddie Lacy in 2017?
What do we do?
First of all, what do the Packers do with him?
So he's a free agent, right?
Yeah.
After this year? I think the Packers need to draft a running back. I think Eddie Lacy's kind of fallen out of favor here. It just the weight issues, now the injury issues are here. James Starks is kind of old. Obviously, Christian Michael's not the answer. I think they're going to draft the running back and move on. You know they don't sign anybody. They're not going to give Lacy a contract. I think Lacy's done in Green Bay.
I think Lacy's days in Green Bay are none, but also this is a situation that he looked like he could have been a fantasy star. This is why I like young running backs. I like to get a running back in that rookie season, that second season, and after that I'm kind of away from him because the nature of the beast and the nature of the position. And Eddie Lacy has been fooling fantasy owners for a few years now. Remember, what was it, 2 years ago, Matthew Berry had him as he should be the number one pick in your league.
Yeah.
How did that work out? And maybe that was the year before that, Matthew Berry said Michael Vick should be the number one pick in your league. So, you know, that's neither here nor there. But what I will say is this. I think Eddie Lacy's situation in Green Bay is done. He'll be on another team next year. He'll be backing up somebody next year. We'll be talking about picking him up off the waiver wire. But the days of spending a high draft pick on Eddie Lacy are over with, in my opinion, Tone.
Yeah, he did a lot better with Crocodile Dundee today when you put together those whole Matthew Berry situation. But
did you know that? He wrote Crocodile Dundee?
I think it was one of the sequels.
Yeah, it was the last one. He basically crushed the series. I look at it like this. I look at Eddie Lacy as going to be an attractive free agent, though. He's going to be a guy that's probably going to land in a place where he's going to have the ability to play on it. Like, he's the difference, I think, for, like, take, like, a New England Patriots situation where a good team says, hey, I need one piece of the puzzle at the running back situation. And I think Lacy's going to fall in the right place.
Okay, so let's say the Cleveland Browns roll out Tony Romo, Eddie Lacy next year. They're a contender.
We hate Eddie Lacy. I don't understand why.
Eddie Lacy in Hugh Jackson's system.
You just told me Eddie Lacy on the waiver wire. You're going to spend some money on him last year. Yeah. Now you just told him a Super Bowl contender because they signed Eddie Lacy.
I didn't say a Super Bowl contender. They'll be better than they stink now. They ain't shit now. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think Eddie Lacy's any better than Isaiah Crowell.
I think he can be Isaiah Crowell.
But they already have Isaiah Crowell.
I think he's a little bit better than Isaiah Crowell.
So what's the point? If he's a little bit better, you put your two fingers together. He's a little bit better than Isaiah
Crowell. I see Craig's point.
What's the point of
signing Lacy? They already have that lexicon there.
Yeah.
They don't have the need.
Yeah, and that makes sense. Yeah.
Tony Romo, I get it. But Eddie Lacy, doesn't do it for me.
Man, but when you're a fantasy player, you may be down on Eddie Lacy.
Well, we were down on Eddie Lacy this year. That's why he lasted the third round. You know what? Worked out all right.
LeSean McCoy was going in the fifth round.
Yeah, LeSean McCoy was going in the third round. Those picks worked out perfectly.
Well, I think LeSean McCoy rose, for me, at least in my leagues, LeSean McCoy rose as we got deeper and deeper into draft season, as we got closer and closer to opening day. LeSean McCoy rose to, I wouldn't say where he should have gone, because he should have been still even went earlier, but close to it.
Yeah.
So, Christian Michael is a Green Bay Packer. And we're saying, all right, it could be an Al Davis situation. He's a handcuff, nothing really else. Okay. But that means, as we kind of said yesterday, that Thomas Rawls is back, essentially. So, Scotty, once again, it's a Seahawk thing. I turn to you. Which Seahawks running back, if you have to choose one, are you starting this week? CJ Procise or Thomas Rawls?
Procise. The word is that Rawls is going to get a significant amount of work, but that he still may be eased in, so you got mixed message right there. I think Procise is the lead guy the way that he played last week. They don't have to rush Rawls back into action. I think after what we saw, it took about 90 tries for him to get into the goal line. If they get into a goal line situation,
it'll
you want
Rawls
to run the ball,
yeah,
it'll be Rawls. But this team is now Russell Wilson's team offensively.
Sure.
They throw the ball from the pocket. Procise, you saw he can be split out wide and catch passes downfield. He can catch passes all over the field. So it's certainly Procise.
Okay. So with Thomas Rawls owners here, Corey, have been waiting for him to come back ever so patiently. I mean, maybe they own Christian Michael, maybe they don't. But they get Thomas Rawls, and we have a ton of buys this week, and we kind of went through a similar situation, in my opinion, with Doug Martin last week, right? Long-term injury, you have a running back, he's going to get most of the carries, but he's going to be sprinkled in, but he's going to get a lot of carries. Kind of mixed messages, exactly what Scott was saying. And I think we saw this last week, like I said. Same exact thing with Martin. So let me throw this out there to you, okay? Would you rather start, before I do this, do you have any confidence in starting Thomas Rawls?
Yeah, I have confidence.
You do?
I have confidence in starting Thomas Rawls. I think Thomas Rawls has been out this long.
Right.
He's fully healthy. He's ready to go. They cut Michaels, obviously. That's a positive sign for Rawls. We see CJ Procise in the mix. I like the two-back system going on right here. I own Thomas Rawls in about five or six leagues this year, and I cut him in every single one, and I am kicking myself in the ass for that right now.
Tony, do you think they have waited for Thomas Rawls to be super healthy, or it was like, you know what? It was like a Tony Romo situation where they are taking their sweet-ass time because they don't want to make this decision. All of a sudden, they know that Crystal Michael cut him, and voila, Thomas Rawls is healthy.
No, I think they would have, as soon as he was ready to go, they would do their – I think he was hurt. And
yep.
I don't think he's 100% coming back and playing in this game.
Okay.
I don't think they waited an extra length. I think they basically got him on the field as soon as they can, and he's ready to go. And I think that CJ Procise would be the guy I would play this week as well.
Okay. So if you have Rawls, and Corey, you seem the most optimistic on him right now. You said you feel confident playing him.
Yeah.
Would you start this week, and this is for all of you guys, would you start Thomas Rawls or Duke Johnson?
I would start Rawls over Duke.
Scotty.
I would start Rawls. And by the way, I don't look at it as the Martin situation because I felt like when Martin comes back, he was the clear starter. It's not clear here.
However, last week, you didn't feel that way. Last week,
I felt like when he was healthy.
Correct. Absolutely.
Sure.
Totally agree with that.
Yeah.
But last week, there was a lot of talk. Martin's going to be eased in. Peyton Barber's going to be the guy last week. And then I know we were
kind of
split.
Yeah, but the reason why I look at it differently, though, is because I feel like Procise is the number one right now.
Okay.
Whereas I knew Barber was the number one only if
sure.
if Martin wasn't there.
Got it. I'm going to talk about this week.
This timeshare.
Let's talk about this week only.
Yeah.
Okay. You start Rawls over Duke.
Yes.
Okay. Tony?
Yep.
All right. Thomas Rawls, Tony, or James Starks?
Thomas Rawls.
Starks. Washington allows over 20 points a game to opposing running backs.
But the Packers don't run the ball.
Yeah, but they'll find ways to get him the ball. When I look at the points allowed, it just doesn't take rushing into account either.
Say that one again.
Thomas Rawls or James Starks?
Thomas Rawls. Thomas Rawls over Starks this week. Look how good Rawls played down the stretch.
In the second half of the season last year.
He was a better running back than Marshawn Lynch. I'm in on Thomas Rawls
this year, though. It's like
because Procise is in the mix.
Yeah, Procise is in the mix, and they like how he ran the ball last week.
I'm still going with Thomas Rawls. I think it's more balance and more consistency in that offense. Green Bay's too helter-skelter.
I feel like Starks is the only guy there, and they get him involved in the passing game too.
But they don't run.
But I just said they get him involved in the passing
how
game.
How much
too.
Do they get him involved in the passing game?
Did they throw a touchdown pass to him last week?
Yes, they did.
Okay, Thomas Rawls. Or, I'll go with you first here, Scotty. Thomas Rawls or Ryan Matthews? Remember, Matthews plays Seattle.
I'm going to go with Matthews. You know, we've seen with the Seahawks, the defensive line without Brandon Mabain does not stop the run like they did last year. You saw LeGarrette Blount get in the end zone against him three times last week. Matthews can get in the end zone. I'm going to go Ryan Matthews.
This is a tough one right here. I think I will lead Ryan. I think I'm going to go Thomas Rawls.
Thomas Rawls. You're in on Thomas
Rawls.
Wow,
you know what?
There you go.
But the matchup is tough,
that's
though.
That's why I brought it
up.
Yeah,
see the matchup. But then again, I seen Tyrod Taylor go into CenturyLink and destroy the Seattle Seahawks defense also. But that was without Cam Chancellor, so that didn't count.
Right.
So
that's the truth, though.
I would take the Seattle Seahawks, and I would take Thomas Rawls over Ryan Matthews by a hair.
Tony?
I'll go with Ryan Matthews. I think both of them are in a tough matchup, and at least I know what's going to happen with Ryan Matthews. I believe that he's going to get at least 10 touches in that contest. I'm not sure what Thomas Rawls does.
All right, last one here for you. Thomas Rawls or Jeremy Hill, Tony?
Jeremy Hill.
Corey?
Jeremy Hill.
And Scotty?
Jeremy Hill.
All right, I have a lot of Jeremy Hill love this week.
He's a player that's really been slept on. He's playing pretty well.
Is he?
It's decent.
Honestly, you know, it's funny because I wouldn't
know. What Cincinnati have again this week?
Will?
I just forgot that.
I have no idea.
2 seconds.
I have absolutely no idea Cincinnati's playing this week. Yeah. So when we come back, it's funny you talk about that here. Corey, about Jeremy Hill. People are sleeping on him,
Cincinnati
right?
He played Buffalo.
People are sleeping on Jeremy Hill, you're saying.
Yep.
I feel like there's a bunch of guys like that I just have no idea how they're doing this year. And Jeremy Hill is one of them. I want to talk about more of those guys throughout the show.
All
and
right.
We'll start with that next here on the Roto Experts. So there's this whole group of players. Like I said, I want to talk about it throughout the show. We can break it down one by one, and we're certainly going to do one next hour. I can promise you that. But Jeremy Hill, Corey, and the reason I brought him up just there was a great example of him, because I could not tell you. I don't own Jeremy Hill anywhere. In fact, I don't own Gio Bernard anywhere either. So maybe both those guys are good examples. And I don't really play daily football every Sunday. I have no idea what Jeremy Hill is doing this year. I do not have a clue. So enlighten me.
Currently, Jeremy Hill in Point Per Reception League, where most of us play, is running back 24. That means he's a locked-in, solid RB2.
He's not a locked-in, solid RB2, well, but he's the last RB2 on the list.
Yes, but he's an RB2 slash flex guy,
there
right?
You go. There you go.
So this is where you go right
rock,
here.
It's not a rock solid.
He's having a better season than Carlos Hyde,
okay,
who stays injured.
Had some injuries,
he's having a better season than Darren Sproles.
Okay.
He's having a better season than TJ Yeldon.
Which is interesting with Sproles in the PPR league.
I know. Isn't that?
That's
exactly. Mm-hmm. He's having a better season than Bilal Powell, James White, Terrence West.
Those are all guys, though, that they're
in that
borderline starts.
Borderline start range. Now, I think Hill is a guy listen, it's not pretty, but you start him every week. 561 rushing yards on the season, which is, I think you want a little bit more. He has one rushing touchdown and two receiving touchdowns.
I'm looking at
Duke Johnson. He has six rushing touchdowns.
<difference.
laughs> He has six rushing touchdowns on the season.
Yeah.
So I think that's where a lot of his value comes in.
Right.
Because if you look at the touchdown numbers, you sort down to the touchdowns, he has the same amount of touchdowns as LeSean McCoy,
sure,
Carlos Hyde, Jay Ajayi, and Christine Michael. So he's top 10 running back in touchdowns.
Tony, it's clear just looking at the stats a little bit. Jeremy Hill is almost, to me, entirely touchdown dependent. Last three games, he's got a touchdown in all three of them. Against Cleveland, he had the 74-yard rush and led to a huge day before he got hurt, 168 yards total. But besides that, that's his only 100-yard game of the year. I mean, we're seeing lines like 9 for 31 on a touchdown, 11 for 22, 17 for 97 and 2 is a great game against Denver, 21 for 71, 4 for 12, 13 for 38. I mean, these are the lines that Jeremy Hill is putting up. But the last 3 weeks, he had that 9 for 168. Then against Washington, 20 for 76 touchdown. And then against New York, 15 for 46 in touchdown. He seems almost entirely touchdown dependent. And maybe this is a terrible comparison, Tony, but he almost seems just like a better version of Matt Asiata.
No. Are you crazy?
He just put touchdown.
Matt Asiata, he never touches the ball 20 times in a game, though.
That's true. That's true.
Go ahead, Tony.
Jeremy Hill played. He had injuries through the first five games of the season that he was playing with.
Right.
And you see him go in the right direction here with the three touchdowns. I don't think he's going to be great by any stretch of the imagination, but
right,
I think he's dependable at this point for a running back, and is a guy that you could solidly have in your backfield.
Yeah, look at last year. It's like he only rushed for 794 yards last year,
okay,
but he still had 11 touchdowns. So he's dependable in terms of those touchdowns.
Yeah, and I think the thing with Jeremy Hill is, and you're right, Scott, we can't always predict touchdowns, but 11 last year, he's now got 6 this year. So
6 in his rookie year, too.
So it's clear what Jeremy Hill's role is on this team.
It's
an offense that can
line.
Move the ball.
Yep.
And, Gio does get his occasional goal line carries because they like to keep a defense off balance and guessing sometimes.
Sure.
But, he's the finisher for a team that can certainly move the ball.
Well, and I think just knowing that almost, guys, is helpful. In knowing that, okay, I don't love Jeremy Hill. I don't expect, when I'm drafting next year, for instance, I'm not expecting Jeremy Hill all of a sudden to be this breakout 1,000-yard guy, right? Mm-hmm. But I know what I'm getting. And to know what you're getting is almost half the battle. Okay? Tony, you talked about luck before. There's no real luck here involved with Jeremy Hill. You're going to get close to 10 touchdowns, and you're going to get, 700 or so, 800 yards maybe?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at it, he did it three times, right? 9, 11,
yep,
and he's at 6 already.
Yep.
So he's right on pace for double-digit touchdowns.
Which I think is really all you can ask for. And you look at a guy like Giovanni Bernard here, Corey, where does he rank in PPR running backs right now?
Here's the thing. This is where you get the discrepancy in what the point per reception does.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Hill is RB24.
Yes, sir.
Giovanni Bernard is RB20. Jeremy Hill is having a better season than Giovanni Bernard. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The numbers are much better. Gio with 327 rushing yards on the season. But, of course, what Gio does is in the passing game. He has 34 receptions for 296 yards. And he has
one touchdown receiving.
One touchdown receiving and one two touchdowns as a running back. So, yeah, I think Jeremy Hill is the more consistent option.
Right.
But Gio Bernard has outscored him mainly because of that PPR.
But Jeremy Hill, it's like, okay, I know I'm very likely getting that six, if anything.
Right. You know, it's so interesting because I'm looking at Gio's game log now. He only has one game in which he has 100 total yards. One.
Yeah.
And the touchdowns certainly aren't nearly as easy to come by as they are for Jeremy Hill. And despite what you're telling me, 20 PPR ranking for Gio, 24 for Jeremy Hill, I feel much more comfortable starting a guy like Jeremy Hill. Even if it's not sexy,
you know
even
what?
If it's not exciting.
I'll like be Hill. Honest with you. Yeah. I want to avoid this altogether.
Why?
Because I don't think it's enough here.
But you know
it's
what you're
headache.
Getting with Jeremy Hill. There's nothing wrong with Jeremy Hill. You just told me that.
Okay, so
rock solid RB2.
You're looking at one guy. You're looking at one guy who is receptions, and you're looking at another guy who is touchdowns.
Give me the touchdowns over the receptions. When we come back, we preview Thursday Night Football. Panthers, Saints, tonight. We'll do it next on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Number two. Here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, Greg Sussman, Scott Angle, Tony Sincotta, Corey Parson, along with you. Thursday Night Football tonight kicks off week number 11. Good one, I think. Panthers and Saints in Carolina. Drew Brees not at home. So we'll see what happens there. We're going to preview both sides here. And I want to start actually with the Carolina side, guys. We were just talking about Jeremy Hill, and we were talking about Giovanni Bernard. And Tony, I'm going to start with you. Because another guy that, in all honesty, I have no idea how they're performing is Jonathan Stewart. Like, Jay Stewart's coming back from injury. Like, I wanted to be excited about him. But, again, I don't have any idea what kind of player Jonathan Stewart has been recently. So, what do you think of Jay Stewart?
He's exactly the same as Jeremy Hill. He's very touchdown dependent in his games where he just absolutely comes out of the stats and he doesn't deliver anything. And then all of a sudden he'll get a two touchdown performance against a decent defense, and it would surprise you. So both these guys are very touchdown dependent and very similar.
Stewart Hill is like, you know, talking about the touchdown dependent. It's like Jonathan Stewart got all four of his touchdowns in a two-game span. It was week 6 and 8, and one of them was against New Orleans, who allows more points to running backs than they do quarterbacks. He had 19 carries for 85 yards and two touchdowns. He averaged 4.5 yards per pop that night. He's averaged 3.6 for the season. So if he's going to do anything, he has to score a touchdown.
And a good chance it has to be tonight.
Yeah, because you look at the fantasy points allowed by New Orleans. They allow the fourth most points to running backs, 23.7 per game.
Now, he's RB 41.
Oh, he's RB 41?
RB 41 in PPR. He's played in six
17
games.
Point, 17 sure. slots behind
so,
Hill.
So he's played in six games. Yeah. So, you know, that's been a problem also, his health. Four touchdowns on the season. It's not much to see here besides him scoring touchdowns. Him staying healthy and scoring touchdowns. So, if you say he plays a full season,
which he never does, so I don't think you can say that.
Yeah, this guy's beat up.
He never does.
Yeah, this guy's beat up. I mean, some of the people in front of him are guys like Matt Asiata and Matt Jones.
I mean, you say he never does, but 2015 he did. I mean, it's not too long ago.
Look,
this is a guy.
Did he miss a couple games last year, Tony?
He had 2015. He had 242 carries. I mean,
but I believe he missed a couple. He missed weeks 15, 16, and 17 last year. So he cost you if you had him. He was not there for your fantasy playoffs, 15 and 16.
The thing with him though is tonight. Look at the matchup. And look at when we know Stewart is there, he's still a talented running back. And this team, you know, New Orleans can really be run on. The matchup is very good. We've already seen it once this season.
We have it. We have seen it once this season. You see it every year with Jay Stew. And my problem is, and you kind of, Corey, like, ugh, the Matt Asiatas, the Matt Joneses are in front of him.
They're the same guys.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah. The same guys.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. When you're down in this range looking for running back help, you better cross your fingers.
But what you don't, people, I don't think we realize is Jay Stu's in this range.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to get at here. Like, he's only had two games all year which he scored touchdowns. I hope people know that. Like, he had against New Orleans previously, he had two touchdowns, yeah. right? Against Arizona, two touchdowns. No other games, he had two touchdowns. No other game has he had over 65 yards. I mean, he's been bad this year.
Oh, yeah, all that, but I still like the matchup tonight. Yeah.
And I agree with that, yeah. right? I agree with that. But and I don't know what your trading deadline is, but let's be fair here. If you can get a good game out of Jonathan Stewart tonight, you got to get rid of this guy, right?
I'm going to trade for him.
You want to trade for him?
No, who's going to trade for him?
I don't know. People see. We talk every day, Tony, about how much we need running backs, how desperate we are for running backs. If I offered you Jonathan Stewart after tonight, who maybe has two touchdowns tonight, you're not going to be interested?
No, you're going to get Ted Ginn for him.
But when we talk about all these schmucks, we talk about all these schmucks on the waiver wire we're going to acquire, why wouldn't somebody acquire Jonathan Stewart starting running
because
back?
Because what are you going to give up in return to get Jay Stu? Yeah, you know, if somebody
I'll do Stewart for Tyler Lockett, you know, something like that. You know, Stewart.
Yeah,
for,
but see, that's kind of like
Tyreek Hill. You know, or,
no, I'd rather have Tyreek Hill.
Okay,
Jonathan Stewart.
Really?
Yeah.
Running back situation is that bad for you, Greg?
I don't have Tyreek Hill or Jonathan
maybe,
Stewart.
Maybe, and we could discuss this, though. It depends on who you talk to. You talk a guy like Tony or Corey,
yeah.
they're not going to give you anybody.
Right.
But somebody in a mainstream league where sure. they're reactionary to what they just
to
saw
yeah,
last
yeah, yeah.
night, maybe.
Yeah.
It's possible.
That's what I'm trying to
yeah.
get at. Yeah. So, Jay Stu tonight, Scotty likes him. Corey, where are you tonight on Jay Stu?
Yeah, he's a play tonight. He's a play going against the New Orleans Saints offense at home, team with their back against the wall. You got to get him out there. He's a flex option.
Okay.
You know, I'm. Where you got him in your lineup ranks this week, Scott? If you don't mind looking it up right quick.
Let me get that for you. They're up right now on rotoexperts.com. Did him last night.
Look at it. He did him last night. He yeah. banged out last night. We were sleeping. Yeah. Scott was getting his lineup ranks done.
Yeah, and we got a chat tonight with George Kurtz at 7.
The answer so expert.
Let me pull those up for you.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
Take your time.
If he's an expert in anything else,
we say
George
Tom?
Kurtz. Do you think George Kurtz could be an expert in any other endeavor besides answers?
He's a hockey referee, right?
I've never worked with anybody that knows as much hockey as George Kurtz.
Well, George Kurtz writes everything. You know, he is.
I've worked with a lot of guys. You know, fantasy hockey analysts. Nobody knows it like George. He can talk a mile on any player or any situation.
I'm a fan of George Kurtz.
Yeah.
Yeah, those lineup ranks up.
Yeah, and one of the biggest team players I've ever worked with.
Oh, that's
I got
employee of the month, George Kurtz.
I got Jonathan 17. Stewart in the top 10 this week. That's how much I like.
You got him in the top 10.
Yeah,
I have him at 17.
Okay, so yeah, Tony got him at 17. Scotty got him in the top 10. Definitely a play this week. So I think
yeah,
we all
for
agree
sure, for sure.
that he's in your lineup. I like him in that flex range. It's about the same place that Tony has him. Scott is very bullish on him.
Interesting. I also
there's always the lore of Newton stealing a goal line carry, but after what we saw a few weeks ago, I'm a little less worried about it because they don't want him to like
take those big shots.
Take those big risks.
He hit the score. He ran for touchdown.
He did.
I'm
not saying he's never going to do it. I didn't say that, but I'm saying maybe about 5%. You know, my concern about it went down
Scott,
a little bit.
Scott, let me speaking of this Cam Newton taking these big hit things. Mm-hmm. I agree that Cam Newton is taking some shots that flags should be thrown.
Right.
And I think that defenders get away with it because Cam Newton is the same size as many of the defenders, so it doesn't look.
Did you hear the conspiracy theory that's going on about it, though?
Jesus.
He did something to Ed Hockley last year or something like that, and like the refs are trying to get back at him, but one of the refs says he's just too young to get those calls.
See, that's not right. I disagree with that.
There's some Ed Hockley conspiracy.
I think people dislike I think people dislike Cam Newton, so I think that's where it comes from. But you as you're a guy, you know, you Seattle Seahawks fan.
Yeah.
Do you think that the way Cam Newton is being treated is unfair? By the referees.
I don't like the way he handles himself in press conferences, but that has nothing to do with the referees. I think they've never seen a guy like this with this kind of size and style, so maybe they're not used to calling it. You know,
you got
maybe
a problem with the way a player handles themselves in press conferences.
Here we go.
And you are the biggest Marshawn Lynch supporter on the face of the earth, and you got a problem with the way somebody handles themselves in a press conference?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I know I just didn't hear that.
Oh, I'm a Marshawn Lynch fan, but I never said that I endorse how he handled him in a press conference.
Oh, okay. All right, okay,
so I don't
cool.
know what you're talking about.
I'm just I'm telling the truth. Tone, yeah. I'm curious on your take. Is Cam Newton the crybaby, or is Cam Newton being treated unfairly?
I think he's being treated unfairly, and I think a lot of it is brought on himself. He seems like a little whiny bitch. Out in the field, man. You know what? Like you know what I mean? When you complain every play, it's gotten out of control.
You know,
the story is. Ed Hockley told him he didn't get a roughing the passer call last year because he wasn't old enough.
Yeah, so I remember
and
now.
He said the referees are kind of like out to get Cam Newton.
Now I remember that story. Yeah. I don't know if there's anything to that. I think Cam Newton's more of a crybaby than anything else. Like, I don't see Russell Wilson complaining. Now
Russell Wilson don't have the size.
He
doesn't
have the size,
yeah.
But he's always running around just like Cam Newton is.
Yeah, but
The difference between, and you guys can talk about this because I know you're going to think biased, but let's say Russell Wilson was playing for the Cardinals, I'd say the same thing.
Of course.
When Russell Wilson threw the game-winning touch interception in Super Bowl 49,
yeah.
He stood there and answered every question.
That's not what I'm arguing.
Cam Newton gets teed off. He walks away. He doesn't answer questions.
Sure.
He pouts in press conferences.
Sure.
So there's the difference to me. And not that Lynch was doing anything
correct
either.
But my argument has nothing to do with press conferences.
We're talking about
the referees.
Yeah.
The referees, I think, maybe should get some of those calls. Yes.
Well, yeah, I think
it's two different subjects for me with Cam Newton.
Okay. I think, to your original point,
yes.
I think that Russell Wilson gets hit like that. He does get those calls.
I haven't seen that.
Russell Wilson doesn't get hit like that.
That's the one thing. Russell Wilson
slides.
Gets out of bounds. He slides
right.
and
yeah.
stuff like that.
Right.
And Russell Wilson is also a Super Bowl champion. That's a difference.
I don't know about that.
No, it's a difference maker.
I think it's style.
When you're a quarterback, a Super Bowl champion quarterback is treated differently. Now,
I think it's personality, too, though. You don't see Wilson arguing calls or, you know, like
he's not
like,
that, he's
like
not
Newton.
That guy.
He's not that type of player.
He's not that guy.
He's not going to bring that kind of heat on himself.
He's
like
not that guy. But nobody in the NFL is that guy like Cam Newton.
Physically.
And Cam Newton, yeah, physically. And the Cam Newton takes shots that if Phil Rivers took it, it would be 15 yards, helmet to helmet, and roughing the passer, and unsportsmanlike contact, whatever the case may be. So I do think that Cam's physical prowess leads him to be open to bigger hits from defenders, and the referees are kind of like, well, you can handle it.
Yeah, I can see that. But I also remember your other point, though, because I remember a few years ago, like Roethlisberger, you'd breathe on him and he'd get a flag.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But
the one thing in the referee's favor, Cam Newton don't stay in the pocket a lot. So
yeah.
A lot of these hits you're talking about are treated as running backs, not as quarterback plays, and nobody talks about that.
Like I said, because of his style, they've never seen something
like this.
But
still, when the quarterback breaks the pocket – And he gives himself up. That's one thing. But you see a play. I think it was a play in the game this weekend. A quarterback's run out of bounds. He took. Who was the quarterback that got hit going? Aaron Rodgers took that hit going into the end zone. They threw a flag on that play, right?
Yeah, if
that was Cam Newton, they wouldn't have thrown a flag on that play. That's the difference, right there.
I don't know if they would have really won. That was dirty. It was dirty by what's his name.
But if it was Cam Newton, they'd have been like he was a runner and not a passer.
Yeah, but Cam Newton would have got dropped like.
Yeah, he would have dropped.
3 seconds.
He would have dropped the defender. Is what he would have done.
Yeah.
It's true. I mean, it's true.
And yeah, so I think his size is a disadvantage. Well, his size is ultimate advantage,
right.
But and when it comes to the officials, a disadvantage. He's having a down season too.
Well, that was my next question here. Cam Newton, who is I don't want to say universally the first quarterback off the board, but he was certainly up there here.
Yeah.
Where has he been this season? Because I don't own Cam anywhere. I don't take quarterbacks early. Cam Newton on the year. I'm looking at his numbers. He's got 10 passing touchdowns. He's got 4 rushing touchdowns. Tony, I wanted to go to you here. What has Cam Newton's season been like comparative to some of these other quarterbacks?
No, it's been inconsistent, and a lot of that you look at, is it Cam Newton? Is it the wide receiver play? Is it a little bit of everything? And I don't think he's been that great this year. I think it's been a step back. But, you know, last year I was always questioning the numbers. Like, he was a runaway MVP.
Yeah.
And I was saying, you know what? This guy's completed 59% of his passes. If you just make him throw, how can he? This is the quarterback position. If you're not excelling at passing, how can he be the most valuable player? So basically the running, the team's record, I think, last year led to a fanfare that he really wasn't the top quarterback in any stretch of the imagination from a skill level, and he hasn't been.
So at this point this season, comparative to last year, he has five less passing touchdowns at this point in the season than he did last year, and two less rushing touchdowns than he did last year. I mean,
He's struggling.
He's struggling this year with the amount of touchdowns he's throwing per game, and he's not scoring on the ground nearly as much as I.
He's played eight games, no injury issues.
Nope.
He is quarterback 16 on the season. Mm. He has 161 completions. That is, Trevor Siemian has more completions than he does. Ryan Fitzpatrick has more completions than he does. Where's Brock Osweiler? Brock Osweiler has more completions than he does.
Oh, God.
63% is the
Can you stop?
Is the completion percentage. He has seven interceptions. He's thinking to join up.
He's thinking to join up. Cam Newton, not worth the draft pick.
No. And this is why you don't pay for a quarterback. Time and time again, Cam Newton is quarterback 16 going in the third round of drafts. Marcus Mariota is quarterback 4. You could have got him off the waiver wire.
Yeah, imagine if you drafted Cam Newton early and you drafted Mariota late.
Mariota's your guy.
Or you picked him up off the waiver wire. Now you start Mariota.
We're saying you're starting right. But you think people are doing that?
Yeah.
I don't know if they are.
Yeah, you know what? You make a good point because when you talk about how people get hung up on labels.
They do. Yeah. I don't know that they are. And I picked up Marcus Mariota on a bye week, let's say, weeks ago. You started him. He played well. I don't know that they're starting him over Cam.
I like Cam this week, though.
They better start, though, tonight. Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see him play tonight.
I like him a lot tonight because you can run on that team.
You can do everything
that can be designed and then rollouts. I'd love Cam Newton.
Tony, would you buy him for the second half of the season for going down the stretch, Cam Newton?
Depending on who I had as my other quarterback, but yeah, I wouldn't rule him out of the equation. Like tonight, he's already had a 322-yard passing game against the New Orleans Saints earlier this season.
Yep. When we come back, we'll take a look from the other side of things. We'll take a look at New Orleans and try to figure out the running back situation tonight. We'll see if Corey's still on his man, Willie Snead. We'll do it next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Returning here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, Greg Sussman, Tony Cicada, Scott Angle, and Corey Parson are here with you. Tonight, we talked about the Panthers, let's talk about the Saints a little bit, gentlemen.
Team total 24 for the Saints tonight.
That's it?
Yep.
I want more.
I think they'll get more.
You think they'll get more? So you're going over on the team total of 24?
Yeah, I go over on the team.
Are you back in on your boy Willie Snead this week?
Oh, boy. See, this is the best way I'm going to attack the Willie Snead situation. I'm going to let my friends help me with this one. Let me find the team that I have Willie Snead on.
The Panthers allowed the 10th most points per game to opposing wide receivers, 25.4, and the 7th most to quarterbacks at 18.7. They only allow 13.6 against the run, but I think that's because, you know, teams throw on them. They do have a better defensive front, so the way to attack them is in the air. I feel like New Orleans really desperately feels they need this game, especially after what happened
last
with
week.
Denver. Sure. They're trying to stay in the NFC playoff picture any way that they can. They're desperate. Drew Brees, you can talk about the home road splits, but I think, you know, tonight he's got to throw the ball. It could be another 3-touchdown pass night. And then you have to decide who's going to get those touchdowns. I think Michael Thomas has a really good game tonight.
All right, here we go with my situation. And I agree with everything Scotty just said just now. Here we go with my situation, how I'm attacking Willie Snead. This is like as big as of a must-win as you can get for Week 11 that I'm in situation with right now. I have the most points. I'm playing the team with the best record. If I can get this W tonight, I can more or less wrap up this league in Week 13. Put it to bed in Week 13. So this is humongous week right here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Willie Snead is currently my second flex. This is a two-flex league, 12-team PPR. Willie Snead is currently in the lineup as my second flex.
Okay.
On the bench.
Yep.
These are the other two guys that I could put in.
We talked about this yesterday.
Zach Miller and Travis Kelce.
Yeah, we did talk about this.
This is the same thing?
Same thing.
I don't think we brought this up. I didn't set this line.
We told you to bench Kelce for a different tight end.
I put Eifert is
Eifert in. Yeah,
Eifert
yeah.
is the tight end one, but now I can still flex one of these tight ends.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got Willie Snead in my lineup because I think
and you had some other scrub we were talking about yesterday on your bench, right?
Tyler Lockett.
See, I knew it.
I think thank you, Greg.
You're welcome.
I think that the game script is going to lead to more point production for the New Orleans Saints than it will for the Kansas City Chiefs, even though the Chiefs have that weak Tampa Bay secondary coming to town. But I think the Chiefs are on Spencer Ware mode right now. So, Tone, I got Snead in the lineup. Am I making a mistake?
No, Willie Snead will actually have the most points of any Saint receiver.
Wow!
They don't defend the slot receiver in this Carolina defense. He will be the number one wide receiver for the Saints this week.
Mm. What makes you say that over Michael Thomas, over Brandon Cooks?
Because of the slot. Willie Snead playing the slot.
Yeah. Interesting. Are you buying that, Scotty?
I can see it. I can see it. The only minor thing that would sway me is the way Brees spreads the ball around. You can never be for sure. But knowing what Carolina does against the slot, you know, even when the defense was good last year, you know, that the one place you could attack them was try to attack them was the slot. So that doesn't shock me.
So you agree that Willie Snead is a start over Travis Kelce?
Yeah.
I think so.
I'm torn.
What are you torn?
It's obvious, though.
Well, I'm nervous.
This is what happens at this time of the year, though.
There's a lot on the line, and you go back and forth. But I find usually your first instinct is usually the best.
Yeah, and
like Tony says, don't confuse the result with the decision.
And I agree with that 100%, but then I don't want to be that, you know. See, me, unlike you, 105, I'm refreshing. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
110, 115.
Yeah.
I'm like, he ain't scored yet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, you know, I can't wait till 7 o'clock at night, so I'm going to be in straight panic mode from Thursday to Sunday at 7 o'clock.
Yeah. Especially, I'm with you. I have an elite. I have Drew Brees tonight. I'm biting my fingernails during this. I'll be looking at my magic tonight.
Yeah, Snead only had 4 for 47 in the last contest they had against Carolina, but still, that if the Kelce don't get in the end zone, he's probably pretty close anyways.
Yeah, Tony makes a good point. Like the 4 for 47, you like the matchup, but like I always say, don't drive yourself crazy because there's the things that you put yourself in position the best you can, but you can't totally predict what happens in a spontaneous athletic game like football. So all you can do is start your best guy. And Snead's the best guy.
I think it's interesting. At home, like you said, Tony, 4 for 47 last time for Willie Snead. Remember, this game was a 41-38 affair in New Orleans at the time. This team was led by Brandon Cooks, 173 yards receiving and a touchdown.
That was week one, wasn't it?
No, it was not. 5 for 78 in a touchdown for Michael Thomas. Kobe Fleener had a good game here against Carolina. 6 for 74. So receiver, I mean, it was a very high scoring affair last time these two teams played.
Yeah, Carolina is like fourth worst against the tight end, 11.5 points per game.
These NFC South games are all shootouts. These teams are Carolina was the best one defensively. They've fallen off this year, especially on the back end. So you can always expect big fantasy games when it comes to these NFC South. Teams.
Yeah, every year like this. Do you think, Tony, you think Michael Thomas bounces back from a rough spot last week?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he coughed it up a couple times, but I think that they'll go to him. A lot of times, too, when you see a young player like that have a tough game, they'll end up trying to go to him early in the game to get some confidence there. So I think Michael Thomas will be fine.
He fumbled twice last week, so they have to.
I'm looking at my opponent's team, which Scott always warns about not to do because I really can't do nothing about this team. But he has Kirk Cousins, Theo Reddick, Giovanni Bernard, Michael Thomas, Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham, Tyler Eifert, Robert Woods, Randall Cobb. This is not going to be easy to beat this dude.
See, here's the thing that you do, though. You're starting to really stress out like people do, like on the air. You look at that, though. You just don't know who can underperform.
Too, but
you could look at it on paper, and then you can come up with a projection like Yahoo does, and it still may not apply.
But I'm saying, but we're in that business. You and Tony do rankings. I'm quite sure you got Kirk Cousins ranked pretty high this week.
But I'm not going to sit here and worry about it.
Yeah, you know, I feel what you're saying.
It's not like I can double, you know, set up to double cover Odell Beckham Jr. because I'm playing against him.
Why? But if you don't worry about it, Scott, doesn't that take the fun out of it? Isn't the fun in fantasy football like being concerned about it and stuff? Like, it ain't supposed to all be great. If it was all great all the time, people would get bored with this thing.
You're right, And, you know, maybe that's fine for you and for Corey. For me, I'll talk about worry with, to the point what Tony just said. I have so much else to worry about with my own lineup and my own decisions, like Corey was just talking about with a Willie Snead type decision. I have to cut off the worry at some point so I don't end up in an mental institution from fantasy football. Okay? All right, I have to cut it off at some point and decide I cannot control this. I can control who I can put in my lineup, but I can't control that, so I'm cutting that out of my worry.
It makes perfect sense what you're saying, too, Scott. I mean, it's just the way I'm built,
you're the way I'm wired.
But here's the thing about it is so crazy is I was just thinking last night, I can't wait for this shit to be over, to be honest with you. Because it's like at this time of year, especially when you're doing this at the level that I'm trying to do it at, every single lineup decision, every fab bit, everything you do in the waiver wire, it matters so much.
Yeah.
Till it gets to the point to where I can't wait till the NFL playoffs start so I can start enjoying football again.
Let me
not
ask
to
you
say
a question.
Football is not enjoyable
played,
right now,
when you
but it's like
sports,
Jesus Christ.
When you played sports,
I mean, excuse me, I'm sorry. I don't want to use name in vain. I'm sorry.
Greg says it all the time.
Why you throw Greg under the bus like
it's
that?
It's true, though. But anyhow, when you played sports when you were younger,
yes.
When you were played sports when you were younger, when it got into the pressure situation, did you want the ball?
No.
I guess so. This is a pressure situation, and you should welcome this.
My swag didn't get there until I became an adult, Scott. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I'm saying, you can't. This is fantasy.
Do you enjoy it, Scott? Do you enjoy
pressure.
Sundays?
Yes, I welcome this.
You enjoy
this
Sundays?
This is fantasy pressure. This is what I live for.
Tony, you enjoy Sundays?
No. It's so funny. I never thought of it really in this context. Like, it's a work day. Sunday's a work day, right? Like, you sit there, you have the laptop out, you're looking at all your games and making your decisions go right. It ends up being a work day. You're 100% right.
It's tough.
I enjoy my work, though.
I mean, I feel what you're saying, but you're up early. I'm normally out late the night before. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're up early. Then it's lineup decision. I'll change this lineup 3 or 4 times before the games kick off. And you know, I got to come down here and chill and, you know, do the shows. Over there. That's the fun part, honestly. But when it, you know, then when 1 o'clock comes and these games start, it's like, these guys can't score fast enough for me.
You
feel what I'm saying?
Your stomach?
It's difficult. You know what I'm saying? That afternoon nap is like, I wake up, the first thing I do is check the score. Oh, my God, I can't believe he didn't do
through
this.
All the games.
I can't believe he didn't do this. Why he's not doing that? Why did this happen? And I'm going to look foolish on this, whatever the case may be. So it can be
stressful.
It can be very stressful. It's not as fun as it seems. But I had a friend of mine
It makes it all the sweeter, though, when you win.
That's true, too. Yeah. But I had a friend of mine ask me last night, you know what I'm saying, are you going to do this again next year to this level?
Right.
And I'm like, hell yeah.
Of course you are.
Yeah. Fantasy exec, I was thinking of you last night. Do you remember Chris Jackson, who was Muhammad Abdul Rayouf?
Yeah. The original national anthem protester.
Yeah, that's right. Now, he had Tourette's syndrome. Mm-hmm. Do you think the referees should not have called double dribble on him?
Mark Ingram and Tim Hightown out tonight. Which one do you like the most, Scotty, between those two tonight?
I think this team gets in the end zone. I think it depends on what kind of scoring system you – but then again, Carolina, you know, because teams throw on them so much, they're kind of better against running backs. They only allow 13.6 rushing yards per game. But I feel like Hightower can finish a drive for this team. He's got the possibility. If I'm in a standard, I play Hightower. If I'm in a PPR, I play Ingram.
I'm in a PPR, and I got Ingram. I have to roll him out there this week. Somebody's on bye this week on my team that I have to put Hightower into. Oh, Devonta Freeman's on bye, so I'm playing Hightower as a starter this week. I don't really have a problem with it. I think the game script, I think the fact that we've seen Hightower involved, he's going to continue to be involved. Now, the front seven of Carolina is stout, but I think it's going to be enough points, enough action in this game that I can – if I can get double digits from Tim Hightower this week, I would in a PPR, I'd be satisfied with that. My other running back is LeGarrette Blount.
All right.
I got the same pair.
How about that?
Yeah.
Look at that, Scott. Yeah. We on the same page.
There we go.
Tony, can you start Kobe Fleener tonight?
Absolutely. It's a great play tonight, actually, as far as tight ends go. I got Kobe Fleener for great might be a stretch of the imagination. I got him for 10 fantasy points. I got him number 11.
All right. It's solid, though. That's definitely solid for a tight end. I'll take it. We'll take it. All right.
What did Foligno do against the Saints last time? Did he have that box score?
I think I got rid of it. He had like 6 for 70 and change in a touchdown?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
It's pretty good. It's a pretty good game. Yeah. Again, at the Superdome, let's not forget that. So take for that what you will. Prediction time. Who you got, Scott Engel?
I got New Orleans 33-27.
All right. Consecutive.
Give me the Carolina Panthers 33-31.
Tone?
Carolina Panthers 31-24.
All you guys made a pretty high scoring game here. I like that. It makes Thursday Night Football more exciting.
It's going to be a good fantasy night.
You guys are right.
I plan on being in Buffalo Wild Wings uptown.
B Dubs?
B Dubs on 125th Street. What's sit with the fantasy executive.
What's the order? What's your go to order? B-dubs?
I like the ultimate nachos with the chicken in it.
You know, I like the blackened chicken salad.
You guys look at the wings?
I
go to Buffalo Wild Wings and don't get the wings.
I could.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
Get a blackened chicken salad with, like, a side of wings.
That's what you think.
I don't think the food's very good there, no matter what you order, right? I mean,
that's
you
true
don't go
too.
There for the food.
I mean, I do.
The
atmosphere. I like the wings.
The wings are cool. The atmosphere, you know, drink a couple beers.
Yeah.
They have the TV on. They have the volume on.
Yeah.
They got to hire some better, though. I'm sorry.
They're very small in nature, their wings. They don't feed them the proper antibiotics, I don't believe.
That's what it is, Tone.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get to your telephone calls at 844-843-6879, 844-84-FNCSY. We roll on up until 10 a.m. Eastern right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Returning here on the Fantasy Sports Network, Greg Sussman, Scott Engel, Corey Parson, the Fantasy Executive with you as well, Tony Cicada too. And we want to talk to you, 844-843-6879, 844-84-FNTSY. Let's begin with Ciro. Good morning, Ciro.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up?
You sound very depressed. Are you in the playoff hunt?
I am, actually, but I need, like everyone else probably, I need a win today. I'm 5-5. I started off with four straight wins and then dropped the next four and won the last one. So I need a win this week. If I can pull out a win, I'll be looking good to get the sixth, potentially fifth seed in my division.
Okay.
So here's my question. I have either Palmer or Kaepernick for this week.
Yeah, I'd definitely go Kaepernick. I don't like either matchup, but I feel like Kaepernick gives you a better floor. You look at Palmer's game log, actually, and, you know, the numbers are not pretty.
Didn't he just throw for 376 yards?
Yeah, but, you know, you look at the points per game. It's like, I think Jake Seeley talked about it on the site this morning. I'm going to pull up some of the numbers. I don't like him in Minnesota.
Would you go Wentz in there at all?
No, I'd go Kaepernick.
Ooh. Yeah. Now, you can't fool around with Wentz, not in week 11, and he's going to. Yeah. I understand you're optimistic because Tyrod Taylor just went into CenturyLink and dropped that hammer on the Seahawks
and then lost too. Yeah,
but Cam Chancellor's back now, so be careful. You get 6 or 4 points for a quarterback touchdown.
Listen to this from
Jake Seeley on RotoX. Palmer is barely a fringe quarterback two on the year. Two games over 19 points with 3 under 15, including a 7.5 performance in Buffalo, 0 or 1 touchdowns in 5 of his games, and 8 interceptions.
Yeah, I gotta go. Colin Kaepernick in this situation also.
Yeah, answers that question. One more for you guys.
Yeah.
I need 3 out of 6 here. I have, and I think I know what I'm going with, but I wanted to get your professional advice here. So I have Jarvis Landry, Gio Bernard, Allen Robinson, Rashard Matthews, Jameson Crowder, and Kenneth Dixon.
Tony?
I wouldn't play. Allen Robinson's definitely in.
Yeah.
Rashard Matthews would be a guy that would be definitely in. Then out of those guys, I'm not going to take a shot on the running back in Baltimore situation as of yet, but he's a guy that definitely has significant upside. Who are the other three?
He said Crowder.
Crowder and Landry.
Crowder would be the other one.
Landry Jarvis or Gio.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gio was out, too. Yeah. It would be Crowder for me.
So, yeah, Crowder, A-Rob, and Rashad Matthews. And Rashad Matthews is touchdown dependent, but he's just locked in right now. I don't think he can be sat, fellas.
So, one more time, what are the three?
Crowder, Allen Robinson, and Rashad Matthews.
The boy you're just talking about, man, you don't want to bench.
Yeah, the man. I'm not putting Rashad Matthews on the bench. I know a lot of the work is touchdowns. I know DeMarco Murray is the guy that's really in control of the offense, but I don't really think that you can put Rashad Matthews on the bench right now.
I don't think so either. I know you can't predict touchdowns, but he's hot right now.
Yeah, he's hot. He's rolling. He could be a player that's streaking, one of the guys to help owners win a championship. Scott, you think you can bench him right now?
Who's that?
Rashad Matthews.
I think it depends on all of what your other options are. I mean, you know, I still like him as a wide receiver three. You know,
Tone?
I think there's a pretty good matchup for Marcus Mariota. I mean, Indianapolis allows the fourth most points to quarterbacks, and he's his touchdown guy.
I got Matthews, and I have Landry ranked a couple spots higher, but because of the touchdown situation and against Indianapolis, a game where the total's 25 as opposed to the Rams' defense, which can be good at times, I would take the shot at Matthews getting into the end zone if it was my roster, and I would pull him in there. If they don't get in the end zone, of course, Landry's going to be the better player. So we're putting it on touchdown dependency based on the totals in those games, and I would go with Rashad Matthews.
Let's go to Dave in Florida. You're up next here, the Roto Experts in the Morning. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Kind of looking for maybe a flex play, if you agree, with Kelly and Gurley as my starting running backs, which then would leave me, I'm going to play Green and Evans, obviously, at wide receiver. So I have to choose a flex between Dixon, Deion Lewis, Tyreek Hill, or Kendall Wright. Unless y'all want one of those as running backs versus Kelly or Gurley.
Hey, let's go to Scotty here.
Yeah, for me, it's unquestionably Tyreek Hill going against that Tampa Bay secondary. You know, he's the best of the options. Tampa Bay allows the second most points of fantasy wide receivers, 27 per game. Jeremy Maclin's not out. Jeremy Maclin's out. There's possibility maybe for more volume again this week, so I'm going Hill.
Are we sure Maclin's going to be out?
It's not looking good. I'm saying right now, because you don't have to make that decision tonight.
Yeah.
As of now, this morning, 8:41 Eastern on Thursday, I'm saying Tyreek Hill.
What if Maclin's not out?
I automatically went to Tyreek Hill with the other guys.
Yeah. The name that jumped out at me on that for that flex situation was Kenneth Dixon. Yeah. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I understand that the matchup is tough, but Kenneth Dixon can catch 6-7 balls, especially in a situation where the Baltimore Ravens should be trailing this game. So I think Kenneth Dixon's intriguing. The guy who could possibly be the guy to leave out this lineup would, in my opinion, could possibly be Todd Gurley.
I see Todd Gurley's benchable, but I couldn't bench him for Dixon or
rookie quarterback, tough situation with the Miami Dolphins D that's playing better. I think I start Dixon and the what was the other running back?
Kelly.
I think I start.
Oh, I gotta start Kelly. Yeah.
I think I start Dixon and Kelly.
I would start Kelly over Gurley easy.
Yeah, I think I start Dixon and Kelly, and then for that flex spot, then I think you put Gurley in the mix. But who else?
Tyreek Hill and Deion Lewis and Kendall Wright.
I still think Gurley gets in the lineup. I would wait for more information on Jeremy Maclin, but I don't feel comfortable starting Tyreek Hill. I mean, do you feel comfortable starting Travis Kelce? You feel comfortable starting Jeremy Maclin? You feel comfortable starting Alex Smith? He had that one big blow-up week last week. I wouldn't be surprised if he was 1-for-9 this week.
Well, I already have Kelce. as my tight end. So that might change y'all's opinion.
Yeah, exactly. If you already got Kelce in there, how much are you expecting from the Kansas City Chiefs this week? Where you think that they're going to have a situation where Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill are worth being started? That's not the way they play football. This is a Spencer Ware game. So I think Gurley's that flex. And I think the RBs are Dixon and the other gentleman, Rob, R. Kelly. Step in the name of love.
I just don't know what kind of workload Dixon's going to get, though.
And I'm looking at Dixon for PPR.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's the way I'm looking at Dixon for PPR. What do you think,
it's not
Tone?
Crazy.
Did I give the gentleman the wrong stuff?
You were going the wrong way, but first with the Todd Gurley not playing him, I thought would have been a big mistake.
Okay.
Because at least he's going to get guaranteed touches. Like Scott says, we don't know what's going to happen with Dixon. Plus, got to remember the Baltimore offensive line has two injuries to both guards, and the line wasn't good to start with. So I'm a little concerned about that. Now, Tyreek Hill, to me, is dependent. This decision comes down to Jeremy Maclin. If it was against that Tampa secondary, if Macklin's out, I would play Hill. I think the upside is way more significant. If he's not, I would go Dixon.
Okay.
There you have it. Let's take a break. When we return here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, I want to take a look at what you were talking about earlier, Corey, which is about looking ahead to the playoff weeks 13 and 14 and 15 and 16, and maybe almost costing yourself wins now because of it. We do it next here at the Roto Experts. We're back here on the Roto Experts. Scott Engel, Tony Cicada, Corey Parson with me, Greg Sussman. And Corey, you were pointing this out earlier.
Yeah.
Like, hey, everyone looks at this playoff schedule. What's going on week 14, week 15, and week 16?
Yes, not guaranteed to get there, though.
But that's the thing. You're not guaranteed to get there.
Yep.
And I think too often we look there. Let's start weeks ago, right? Before the season starts, everyone's like, wow, I'm going to draft this player because he has an amazing playoff schedule, which is, of course, incredibly stupid because you have no idea, A, if that player will even be on your team in 13 weeks from now.
Mm-hmm.
B, if the player will even be healthy in 13 weeks from now, or C, how that offense will be or how that defense will be.
Mm-hmm.
We have absolutely no idea. So doing it then, I mean, before the season starts during the draft, it makes no sense.
It's ridiculous.
Let's say ridiculous.
That's what I said.
Let's say ridiculous. It makes zero sense.
Uh-huh.
But my question is, does it make sense now?
I think now you can start to look at it and look at things more clearly, especially when you're making waiver wire decisions on fringe-type players that you're going to put on your bench and stuff like that, looking at guys that could possibly start. The way I'd rather play it right now, though, is that every week is a one-game season. There is no week more important than week 11. Forget 14, 15, and 16. Focus on week 11. Now, in the back of your mind, when you're making, especially on Wednesday nights when you're making your waiver plays.
Or Tuesday nights.
Or Tuesday nights. That's when I think you can be a little bit, look a little bit forward and try to foreshadow what's going to happen in some of these weeks. Week 14, we come right out the gate with no teams on the bye. But, you know, you do have some fantasy-friendly matchups going on that week. So I think you can start to dibble and dabble in that, but nothing is more important than 8:25 Eastern time
tonight
mm-hmm. to about 11 o'clock Monday night. That is the season right now.
Tony, let me ask you this, and I know it depends on your record, right? If you're sitting at 8-9, 9-1 right now, 8-2, 7-3, you're in a much different position than someone fighting for a playoff spot. I get it. You have the ability to go and search players that are on bye right now to take a look at the playoff schedules a little bit. But on your teams in particular, for yourself, how much are you doing that?
Zero, because it makes no sense. Actually, I'm going to 1.3%. The difference is that when you look at it, like just say you needed a wide receiver and you like the Carolina matchups, right? And you say, wow, Devin Funch is out in the waiver wire.
Well, what is Devin Funchess without Cam Newton? What is he with Derek Anderson at quarterback? So that's why I think it's like you can have the best plans and they go up in smoke. The 1.3% is that I will make sure that I always have a warm weather kicker or an indoor kicker when it comes to the playoffs because the weather all of a sudden becomes a factor there and I don't want to lose because of the weather. So the only guy that I'm looking at going forward is the kicker, and I'll address the rest in week 14.
Well, what about then a defense, right? Like if you're sitting up top and you like to talk about addressing a kicker, making sure they're in warm weather or they're in a dome, what about a defense? Could you conceivably, maybe not now, but line up your defense for then? Like, all right, let me make sure I got someone facing the Browns or facing the Rams or something like that.
If I have two kickers on my roster, I can't have two kick defenses on my roster. So
just pick up the crap. Just pick up the kicker now. Then drop one kicker, pick up another kicker, and get two defenses instead.
Who scores more points, the kickers or the defenses?
I don't know the answer to that. Who does?
It's the kickers.
Okay, so but still, what do you need to have two kickers on your roster for right now?
Well, I want my 15 points come the playoff time, and I want to stay away from the weather. But if I had one of the top kickers and he's playing in a bad environment now, I'm okay with it. But I just want to have a backup plan there if we have a snowstorm on week 14.
This was a situation that I was, like I said, the only time I'm really thinking about this is when I'm doing the waivers and I'm going through situations like that. I keep going back to the last game of the fantasy season where you have Dallas and Detroit. And if the Cowboys are in this position where they have home field advantage locked up, now we can get into some interesting things. You know what I'm saying? I think Alfred Morris. I think Lance Dunbar, too, is a guy that could be in the mix possibly on week 16. The Detroit Lions are not going to give up, so you feel good about their plays. I think, that's just a wild week. You have Christmas is that Sunday, so you only have two games. Most of the competition is going to be on Saturday when you're trying to win your championship. So it's too much to think about and foreshadow now. But I would start looking at the situation in Dallas. It's probably the only one that really stands out. I think you're going to need to be an Alfred Morris owner. You're going to have to see what they're talking about that week. I don't think you can play Morris and Ezekiel Elliott in the same lineup. So just little things like that I'm looking for. I don't really think – what's the Patriots? Are the Patriots in a situation, Tone, where they can have a situation?
No. This is the most overrated thing in all of sports that football buys. Because when you have the team, right? Let's take Tom Brady, for instance, situation. They're going to have a week off already because of a bye week after week 17. So you don't want the quarterback missing 2 weeks of play. So a lot of teams, you'll see, they always end up playing three quarters at least in those contests. Now, a running back might be a little different, but the quarterback plays, they always play.
That's the quarterbacks are something we don't have to worry about. Scotty, I know you're somebody that you look to your team, you look right now, you don't make lineup decisions for next week, certainly, the week before. Mm-hmm. But you're trying to win a championship. That's the ultimate goal here. He's winning a championship.
It's been a while.
How much do you look toward playoff schedules to make your decisions?
1-10 guy.
Right? That has more points than your team.
No, you don't. Let the barbs be accurate.
Standings. But wait a minute. Who was the one win against?
That's okay.
Okay.
You know, congratulations on that. Your season's over now.
No, you're right. Uh-huh.
Yeah. What are we saying, Greg?
How are you listening to me instead of fighting with this guy?
What?
He wants to know what are you doing right now as you prepare your teams? The ultimate goal is to win a championship. Right. But when the king, fantasy Hall of Famer Scott Engel, sits down to put his teams together and stuff like that, what is it that you are doing? That's what Greg wants you to tell the audience.
To be honest with you, it sounds cliche, but I'm taking it one game at a time. Mm-hmm. You say, Corey, this is a one-week sort of game, and it's not saying I won't ignore a stash here and there, but I feel I have to win this week. I almost have like a Seattle Seahawks mentality about it, which is like every game is a Super Bowl, and that's it.
Every game may be the Super Bowl, but
you treat every game like it's the must win game.
But yes, no, in that you're still trying to put yourself in the best position to win it all. And that might not. And that might be, if you're in the position to do so, taking a loss now for the ultimate win later.
I think I have some limited. You have some limited maneuverability in what you can do for going forward.
Now that Tony was saying about kickers, and I was saying about defenses, some mobility, some planning ahead that you can do. Is that something that you ever consider?
No, because I feel like I got to get through this week. And we talk about how it's week to week, especially with injuries. And, you know, Tony noted the offensive line injuries with Baltimore. Things change too much from week to week, especially when you got an 11-man defensive unit, you know, some sort of injury. I don't think outside of Denver maybe that and Seattle, there's probably like an every week starting unit in fantasy football.
I agree. Yeah. I don't think so. I think we're streaming. I mean, you saw last night I had waiver wires with guys with $30 paying for the Miami Dolphins defense. So, yeah, I think the defense situation is week to week, and unless you have one of those, the Denver Broncos or the Seattle Seahawks.
Denver Broncos, Seattle Seahawks, the only two defenses you're going to feel comfortable with. And if that's the case, then, if that's true, right, if those are the only two defenses right now we feel comfortable with starting week in and week out, then to me, if I'm in a position, if I like my starting lineup, I'm going to pick up a defense now that's playing Cleveland in week 14, whoever that
is, week 15. Yeah, but a lot of times I don't have room for that. You don't have room for that, though.
But if your starting lineup is good enough and you're going to have a scrub on the bench anyway, like, what is the reason, if I like my starting lineup, right? Like, my starting lineup is good. Mm-hmm. And obviously I can go through injuries, don't get me wrong. I understand that. But I'm sitting here at 8-2 right now. What do I need to hold on to Chris Hogan or Tyler Lockett for rather than get the defense to play Cleveland?
I
think it depends on your situation. I could see dropping Hogan. I think it depends on your situation, too, though. But, you know, I want to have depth at wide receiver running back, especially, like, you can handcuff the wide receiver and get the NFL handcuff. I want to have depth at wide receiver in case there's an injury.
Okay.
You know what the craziest thing is? Yeah. Is the Seattle defense, like you guys all exclaim about. They're 10th in fantasy scoring.
Who are the top five fantasy defensive scoring?
Denver's number one.
Okay.
Tied with Minnesota, actually. Kansas City's number three. Philadelphia, four. Arizona, five. Baltimore, six. The Bills, seven. Chargers, eight. Panthers, nine, which are terrible. And the Seattle Seahawks, a 10th.
Yeah, well, they get Chancellor back, and Bennett's coming back, so I think they'll be better than that.
There you go. This again.
Oh,
it's the
God.
Truth. You guys want to believe
Homer
it?
Radio coming next. Hour number three.
It's the truth.
You don't think these other teams are getting guys back at all? No? Okay, cool. When do we come back? We have basketball next hour and a little story time as well. Roto Experts rolls on. Hour number three next. Oh, hello there. If you're enjoying the Roto Experts in the Morning on demand, well, there's a whole nother hour that you could listen to live every single weekday morning from Monday to Friday. If you want more laughs from Corey Parson, listen to the Roto Experts from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern every single weekday morning. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.